Hello and welcome to The Court Jester, your weekly dose of medieval absurdity. I am Cleopathenu, medievalist and storyteller, and today's story is another one that doesn't really need a content warning. I think I'm starting to spoil you, or the exact opposite, depends on what you like. However, today, despite the fact that our story was written several hundred years ago, you will still find it funny and probably won't even find it offensive, unless, of course, you're easily offended by casual con artistry. So without further ado, let's get started. Today's story is called The Priest Who Had a Mother Foisted on Him. As you can probably imagine, the story begins with a priest. A priest who had a mother, and his mother was a bitter woman, very annoying, dark, ugly, hunchbacked, and basically evil in every way. And so the priest could not stand her at all. She was always whining, she was always complaining about something, and at some point he stopped inviting her in his house at all because she was so loathsome and so dour that she was bringing down the mood wherever she went. Now, this was not the only woman in our priest's life, because as any other priest of his time that has a modicum of self-respect, our priest also had a paramour, a lover. That lover he did like, and so he treated her in all good things. He had given her two, not one, two fur wraps, one of squirrel and one of sheepskin. She had also extra capes and overcoat and rich silver fabrics to wrap around her beautiful body. Naturally, the entire parish has opinions about the nature of this dalliance and about the fact that it is indeed happening, and no one is expressing those opinions more vocally than the priest's mother, who doesn't object ethically, but rather is not happy at all that she's not receiving the same treatment. He is not giving her anything. No fancy clothes, no beautiful furs, nothing. And very soon she complained openly to him. "Oh, shut up," said the priest. "I give you my food. I occasionally allow you to stay under my roof. That's plenty for you and you should not be complaining." "I think," said his mother, "that you will find that I am worthy of much more respect, and right now I'm asking you to actually treat me as the person that I am, your mother, worthy of all the respect in the world. And if you don't, I will go straight to the bishop and tell him about the girl you keep and all the presents that you're giving her, no doubt with church money, and see how much he will like that. You're worthy of nothing, and you will get nothing more from me," said the priest. "You will do no such thing." But she stormed out and ran to the bishop's court. She fell at the bishop's feet and stated her case. "Her son's behavior is a disgrace to himself, to his family, and to anyone who has a slight respect of the church overall. Because this mongrel has brought in a girl and loves her more than anything, more than his own mum." The bishop had to take all this into consideration and told her that he'll summon her son and have him state his case before him. And so the woman left with a bow, feeling very satisfied with the outcome of this conversation. A few days went by and the day came where the bishop was indeed in the mood to deal with this and summoned the priest. 200 people have assembled, commoners and clergymen alike, to hear the bishop pronounce his judgment on this and other cases that were being discussed that day. And the old woman, the mother, she didn't stay home. She was there as well, very keen to see the punishment of heavens falling on the head of her stupid son that didn't give her anything, anything at all. So she went straight to the bishop and said, "Are you ready then to give my son a proper punishment?" The bishop said, "Just you wait. I'll deal with him when he comes. I will have his benefits suspended and I will cut off his priestly privileges and then I'll decide what I'll do with him." But suddenly, she started having second thoughts. Did she maybe overdo this? And what if the bishop convicts him in something really nasty and has him tortured and has him in some way hurt? No, that can't do. I mean, she's still his mother. She wants him to be punished, but not that much. So she needs to find a solution. She needs to fool the bishop. And so she sat and waited, and another priest arrived at court, round, short, with a big pot belly, a cleric with a double chin, and when she saw him, she went straight to the bishop and said, This is my son. Are you the son? Shouted the bishop. Are you the renegade priest that has taken a lover? Come in. Tell me, why have you been such a beast to your old mother who stands here? I'm ready to have you suspended. I'm ready to get all your benefits off from you, unless you accept that you will now and forevermore care after this righteous woman who took care of you when you were young, and you have left her now alone and destitute to fend for herself in this vulgar and brutal world that we live in, while meanwhile you take very good care of your little lady friend, whom I hear you have now taken into your own house. The priest is baffled. Are you talking to me? He said. I don't know anything about this. I've never met this woman, and my mother has been dead for some time. And I don't recognize her. I don't think this one is even in my parish. And I certainly do not have a lover, sir. Not in my home or anywhere else. You dare lie to my face, said the bishop. The woman is here and she recognizes you. Are you telling me that your own mother is lying about who you are? How did you even manage to become a priest with such an attitude and such propensity for lying? You will take her under your care now, and if you do not do right by her, I'll have you excommunicated. No, there will be no need for that, said the bishop, who didn't exactly know what was happening, but he didn't want to be suspended or excommunicated, so he figured he'd rather agree to whatever punishment and take the punishment and move on with his life. So the bishop pronounced, you take that woman now, put her on your own horse, you walk by her on foot, and make sure she is wanting for nothing from now until the end of her days, and get out of my sight. She went with him, he put her on the horse, as the bishop commanded, and they make their way. As they were leaving the city, whom did they run into but the lady's actual son, who recognized his mother in another man's horse. She winked at him to keep his mouth shut, and he rode by without questioning what was happening. However, the other priest didn't have to be asked and started talking. Are you by any chance, brother, going to the bishop's court? Because if you are, I'd ask you to reconsider. You won't believe what happened to me this morning. This woman, I don't know her, I've never met her, but the bishop decided she is my mother, and he has given her to me, and now I have to care for her until the rest of my days, because allegedly I also have a lover, that I don't, and I have to say this again. This is not my mother, I don't know who she is. But now I guess I'm stuck with her, so I suppose she is my mother? I don't know. And you say this is not your mother, said the other priest. I swear to you she's not. She's probably the wife of the devil himself. I don't know how she found herself on my path. So, presumably, said the priest who was the actual son, if someone were to take this burden off your hands, would you be willing to pay them handsomely and not have to care about that woman ever again, because they would be caring for her with the money that you are providing? I would be very amenable to that suggestion, said the priest. Is that what you're offering, brother? That is exactly what I'm offering, said the son. And how much do you think you could give me for the next couple of years? Shall we settle the bill to 60 pounds of gold? It sounds perfectly reasonable. And they shook hands, and money changed hands, and from that point on, the old lady went back with her son, leaving a good life that the poor priest had paid for, but not the right priest. The end of the day, though, all that matters is that it was a priest on bishop's orders. So I guess that counts. And this was how the priest had a mother foisted on him. If you liked what you heard, stay tuned. The Court Jester is usually here weekly. So please subscribe to the podcast wherever you're listening to this episode and tell at least one person in your life that this podcast exists and it's really funny and you're enjoying yourself while you're here. In the show notes, there's also links to the podcast's social media and you're welcome to find me there. I'm really keen to start a discussion on this. And lastly, if you are so inclined and if you like The Court Jester enough, you could consider supporting the podcast on Patreon. you will get bonus episodes and other good things, and I will get a sense of achievement that I don't otherwise get in my life, and not even mentioning the ability to give you more stories from the Middle Ages. I am Cleo Pethenou, medievalist and storyteller, and I thank you for listening. Until next time.